Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Adani Green Energy Q3 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Elara Securities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rupesh from Elara Securities Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Elara Securities, we welcome you all for the Q3 FY23 conference call of Adani Green Energy. I take this opportunity to welcome the management of Adani Green Energy Limited, represented by Mr. Vineet Jain, MD and CEO, Mr. Phoonsok Vangyal, CFO, Mr. Rajkumar Jain, Head Business Development, and Mr. Viral Rawal, Lead Investor Relations. We will begin the call with a brief overview by the management, followed by Q&A session. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Phoonsok Vangyal for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Yeah. Hi. Good afternoon. Good afternoon to all the participants. On behalf of Adani Green, thank you for joining AGL's Q3 FY23 earnings call. I will take the participants through some of the recent updates, starting with capacity growth. In terms of capacity, as we stand today, we have 7,324 MW of legally declared COD. Apart from that, as we have advised, we also have another 830 MW of operational capacity, which is in the process of being legally declared COD. Effectively, as we stand today, we have 8,154 MW of operational capacity. Now, during the nine-month period, some of the notable achievements which we have is we commissioned the largest hybrid cluster in India, 1,440 MW. Apart from that, one of the largest solar wind projects in India, 325 MW in MP. Apart from the fact that then a solar plant of 150 MW was also commissioned. This is from a capacity growth perspective. During the same period, we also signed PPA for our manufacturing cluster projects, 450 MW wind projects with SECI and another 50 MW solar projects with SECI during this period, which also strengthens our project pipeline, demonstrates that, okay, Adani Green has got a firm portfolio of committed capacity. Now I will go to operational and financial performance. During the nine-month period, from a solar portfolio perspective, what you will see is our CUF PLF has increased to by 140 basis points. Today, as we stand, it is 24%. This reflects the integration of our robust operational philosophy, you know, which we have, which has led to a CUF better than what we achieved during the same period last year. In terms of wind, after excluding the one-off force majeure event, our CUF is towards around 30%, which is slightly lesser than what we achieved last year. During the same period, as you know, we have commissioned our hybrid cluster, and the hybrid cluster CUF stands at 34%. The CUF of hybrid cluster clearly demonstrates that, okay, why there is a good push for hybrid stroke with RTC type of tenders by Government of India. During the same period, in terms of energy units which we have sold, has increased by 59%, and this is primarily on account of the capacity augmentation which we did. During this period, actually, compared to last year, we have added a capacity of around 2,064 MW, which is a combination of greenfield operational capacity of 1,914, plus a M&A, basically a Inox capacity of 150 MW, which was integrated. Purely from a power supply revenue, actually, during the same period, it has increased by 39%, 3,695 crore. This, mind you, excludes the infirm revenue which we have generated from our operational fleet. If we add the infirm revenue, during the same period, actually, nine months, we have generated an infirm revenue of 1,645 crore. EBITDA from power supply remains at a robust level of around 92%, and EBITDA from power supply during the same period increased by 3,570 crore. This effectively has led to our cash profit increasing by 41% to 1,827. What effectively it means is, today as we stand from an operational capacity of around 8.1 GW, if we really look at the run rate EBITDA, is basically 7380 crore. And 7380 crore run rate EBITDA means net debt to run rate EBITDA of 5.26, which is much beyond the various covenants which we have agreed under the international bond issuances which we did. And I will also briefly make a speak about it. From a regulatory perspective, during the period actually, as we spoke during the last time, we have achieved a favorable appeal order from, in case of our Kamuthi, Tamil Nadu project, where APTEL has reaffirmed our contention that the tariff for our projects stand at 7 rupees 1 paisa. This effectively means that there is a revenue upside of at least 570 crore, which is not factored in the financial numbers which has been presented, apart from a recurring impact of 90 crore. Apart from the tariff reaffirmation, during the same period, we received a favorable order from APTEL for same Kamuthi project actually, where APTEL has accepted our contention that PLF beyond 19%, we are entitled to receive revenue actually. The numbers impact of that is also not being factored on a conservative basis as a part of the financial numbers which has been presented. Third point which I thought of briefly when we talk about is the credit position. Now, as we speak right now, the liabilities which we have, AGL's various rated credit facilities, 97% of our credit facilities are rated between A to AAA rated equivalent credit scale actually. This clearly shows the strict discipline which AGL has maintained in the debt management as well as the prudent capital management philosophy which we have been consistently following. This is getting reaffirmed from the fact that during the same period for our Kamuthi plant, our rating was upgraded from A plus to AA minus. What we do understand is on a project finance basis, for a project with Tangenco as a credit profile, this is the highest credit rating which any project has achieved in the country. What I would also like to highlight is from a counterparty perspective, because during the beginning of the call, I talked about some of the PPAs which we have signed. From our locked-in portfolio today, as we stand, 89% of our portfolio are with sovereign and sovereign equivalent counterpart. Now, our prudent capital management as well as high grade of counterparty profile is getting reflected from the fact that all the rating agencies, whether it was international rating agencies or domestic rating agencies, have recently reaffirmed our rating. That's the third point. Last but not the least, I would like to talk about the ESG, which remains a very, very important pillar for AGL. As you know, AGL has got a robust ESG framework and policy, which is in line and guided with internationally accepted principles. Now, apart from the fact, in line with internationally accepted principles, we have been making all the public disclosure. During the Q3 period, some of the notable achievements is now as we speak, our entire operational capacity is zero waste to landfill. Secondly, we have received the Leaders Award in Sustainability by Frost & Sullivan and Energy and Research Institute. Third, during the same period, we have been honored with Platinum Award by Asset ESG Corporate Award 2022. Now, in conclusion, what I would like to state is we are making a steady and sustained progress in our endeavor to have a large-scale adoption of cleaner and affordable energy in the country and be on track on a prudent and conservative basis towards our long-term renewable energy capacity goal. Thank you. Now, open for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Mr. Mohit Kumar from DAM Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. Sir, two questions, sir. First is, sir, can you spend some time explaining the debt position once again and the repayment schedule, especially in FY24 and FY25, and debt which has been capitalized on the books and which are for under construction? Can you just separately mention it?
Yeah, sure. So from a debt perspective, actually, as you would have seen, for a December end, we have a net debt, actually, with net debt of around 41,000 crore, and from a gross debt perspective, it is around 47,000 crore. A large part of this debt is already capitalized, actually, because as I talked in the beginning, a larger part of capacity was commissioned during the intervening period per se. Now going forward, as far as next financial year is concerned, that is where a part of our capacity, which is either in the form of the wind stackify, which you may have noticed, plus a partial commission capacity, which is yet to declare legal COD, 830 megawatt. Those are the capacities which will be capitalized upon.
And said repayment schedule, sir, for the next FY24 and FY25?
Yeah, from FY25, actually, so we have a loan repayment of 1305 crore. This is based on the... Yeah, 1305 crore based on the legal maturity which we have, okay, agreed, 1305 crore.
This for FY25, right? Yes. And FY24?
FY24, 1305 crore.
And
so
FY25?
FY25, we will be having 1541. Apart from the fact that, as you are aware, there is a holdco bond which is getting, which needs to be repaid as a part of FY25. Holdco bond as well as RG1 bond, actually.
Understood, sir. Second question is, has the PPA been signed for all the 8 gigawatt PPA for the manufacturing tender? And the related question is that is our solar manufacturing capacity, which we had committed of 2 gigawatt, is it up and running? And what stake we have in this capacity? Do we have any economic interest in that particular entity?
Sure. So on the first part, on the manufacturing link tender PPAs, we have signed up in the initial part of January additional 50 megawatt there. So now we are left with close to 2100 megawatts of the PPA to be signed. We are already in an advanced stage to sign up another 250 megawatt of the PPA, hopefully within the current, probably in 2 weeks from now, hopefully within that. Balance are in advanced stage, and we expect to close them over the course of next quarter or so. Coming to the next question with respect to the manufacturing capacity, yes, we need to hold, for the tender condition, 26% stake in the 2 gigawatt cell and module manufacturing capacity. So we are currently holding that.
Okay. And the last question is on the 23, you said the run rate EBITDA is 24 billion. So can you expect 19 billion EBITDA starting from Q4? Is that the fair assumption? Yeah.
Yeah, so as I said in the beginning, actually, for March 23, we are expecting a run rate EBITDA of 27523. And from a run rate EBITDA perspective, March 24, this should be nearer to 8,800 crore, actually. This is based upon some of the capacity which may get commissioned in next financial year.
So 8524 is the run rate EBITDA at the end of March 24. So this number will most likely come in FY25. Is that the understanding?
A part of its capacity will come in FY25, actually, because as we speak, by March 23, around 8.3 gigawatt will anyway be operational. So for 8.3 gigawatt, our press release also talks about, around 7523 will be our run rate EBITDA actually. On the top of it, the capacity which will be commissioned in next financial year, a part of that will be a part of FY24. Hope it clarifies the matter.
Understood, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Best of luck, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Lavina Kotros from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So just wanted to check at the more at a policy level, there was a policy talking about open access for green energy, which might have helped Adani Green charge slightly higher tariffs, right? Any progress on that, sir, at the state level that you're hearing about? Please go ahead.
So two parts. As far as Adani Green's current portfolio is concerned, as you know, it's mostly contracted or is virtually fully contracted with the DISCOMs, except a very small capacity. So the current run rates and all the EBITDAs we are talking about, or 20,400 megawatt roughly we are talking about, is tied up under those things. So the open access of what was notified in the middle of last year as a new initiative by the MNRE, now that is getting operationalized in through various procedures, but not much has happened on that in terms of capacities below 1 megawatt until now in the country. 1 megawatt and above, open access was already allowed. So it basically opens up that market which is below 1 megawatt. But yes, that will take probably a few more months as some of the states starts doing under the process which has been formed and the bodies are notified. So it is taking some time, but yes, it's a great move for decarbonization of the industry.
Understood. And so generally on the construction side of your existing portfolio, are there any headwinds that you're facing? I know you'll have all the land already, but let's say this volatility in module prices, or is there anything that's leading to, let's say, a delay beyond 6 to 12 months in your, as far as what you can see today?
Yeah, hi, Lavina. This is Vineet here. It is on the positive side, Lavina. If you see the prices, which were on the higher side, okay, the prices have gone down in last 3 months. The prices of the cells and the modules have gone down a lot. Okay, if we import, you know, either from China or from, you know, Southeastern Asian countries. And in any case, as you are aware that our all the PPAs are, you know, covered in the changing law, so it's not having any impact on us. So in the nutshell, okay, we are not, you know, seeing any, you know, the headwinds, okay, for in respect of the construction of any of our ongoing project circles.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Lavina. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Apoorva Bahadur from GS. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I think during your opening remarks, you highlighted that the company earned 1945 crore from sale of infirm power. So can you please share the number of units which were sold over here?
I think the number was 1645 crore actually, okay. Not 1945.
How many units?
Units.
Yeah, number of units. Just give me a second actually. We were just
3,000 million units.
Yeah, approximately 3,000 million units actually.
Okay, and we sold this all on the exchange, right?
So, you know, while it is primarily exchange, but it is not necessary, we look at opportunities with various buyers in the market and identify where we get the best money. So, but yes, mostly it reflects the prices around the exchange.
Understood. Sir, and also if you can share the holdco debt that we have.
Yeah, so holdco debt actually is today, as we speak, is on around 5,800 crore actually, and out of which anyway hedge reserve of around 360 crore is already in place. So effectively, it is 5,400 crore of holdco debt which is there.
Okay, and how much becomes due in FY25 for repayment?
No, as you said, okay, this is a bullet repayment actually. So in September 24, we will be having the HoldCo debt repayment, which is proposed to be refinanced as a part of the rating process which we have agreed with the rating agencies.
Okay.
So we have around 18 months till date to refi.
Right. Because I understand during the last conference call that we had, there was this understanding that the domestic banks would be more than happy to refinance, right, the debt which is becoming due in FY 2025. So is there any change in their view, or do you expect this to go through?
No, we don't feel any change in it actually. But as we spoke in the last call, from our perspective, actually, we have a wider pool of funding base, including but not limited to domestic institutions. But domestic institutions still remain committed actually.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Nikhil from AllianceBernstein. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my question. My question again relates to the debt repayment in FY 2025, which is a sizable amount. Just wanted to clarify the HoldCo bond again. I know it's been discussed, but what I understand is at least domestic banks typically are not keen to refinance HoldCo-level debt. If that is the case, and in case that happens, what is the plan? Is there any interest to pursue asset divestments like some others in the renewable company do to flip assets?
Yeah. So from a refi perspective, what I can say is we don't envisage any issue per se actually. What we also need to be mindful is today AGL is, by the end of this financial year, 8.3 gigawatt portfolio operating company actually, and it shows a sufficient amount of free cash flow to service all the debt, including but not the HoldCo debt actually. And from an asset divestment perspective, we don't envisage any such scenario to arise.
Understood. And any plans to buy back the HoldCo bond because it's trading at a 30% discount right now in that case?
So various options are being evaluated. Let me put it that way actually. And I'm not sure when we spoke last time, what we also highlighted is, okay, once those options reach a certain stage, we will make a market announcement if it is required.
Understood. And just my last question is then on the construction pipeline. So what a lot of other renewable players are highlighting that due to this ALMM list challenge, there has been slowdown on their new project commissioning. But glad to hear it's not been the case for Adani Green. If you could just elaborate on that, because that at least I found others difficult to navigate.
Yeah, sure. So the good part here is in our portfolio of 20.4 gigawatt, there is hardly a very small capacity, if I remember right, close to 1% which needs to satisfy this ALMM. Otherwise, this ALMM requirement does not apply right now for any of our projects which we are implementing. As we build our pipeline going forward, obviously, we will be compliant with the ALMM, and that is where we are working actively with various producers.
Okay, good. That's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Rupesh from Elara Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Hi, sir. One question is related to our current and future cash flows. Will it be that sufficient to meet our target and current pipeline? And just wanted to understand what are the challenges we are seeing today in terms of capacity ramp-up going ahead?
Yeah. So from our ability to sustain the capacity augmentation which is being envisaged, we don't envisage any issue actually. Because now if you really look at it, AGL is basically a mature company with 8.3 gigawatt of operational fleet actually. And 8.3 gigawatt of operational fleet throws sufficient amount of free cash flow after meeting all the obligations to sustain the CapEx, to sustain the capacity growth which we are envisaging. Okay?
Yeah. The second question is on the pump hydro front that earlier we had sent few MOEs. So any guidance on CapEx or timelines on that one, sir?
Yeah, sure. So I think while we have been working on the hydro projects and there are multiple such projects that are at different stages, whether it is getting the TOR approvals, environmental assessments and all of that. But as of now, there is no FID on any of those projects, and we will come to the market as we reach to that stage and announce those. But there is still some time left for that.
Okay. Sir, one more question on the bidding. There have been slowdown in bidding process, and we have not seen that aggressive on the bidding part. Can you throw some light on that, sir?
Sure. So I think what is important to understand that within our portfolio of this 20.4 gigawatt pipeline, we have significant flexibility to prepone or do the projects at time. And that basically gives us ability to wade through the uncertainties in the market. And that is where, when the prices were higher in the last 1 year, where you have not seen us too much active, we didn't chase the very, very competitive bids. So with the prices moderating, it obviously opens an opportunity for us. But at the same time, we have a significant pipeline to deliver. So it's not necessarily a significant compulsion for us, but we will look at market, identify the opportune bids where we can actually have a significant value add for us beyond the normal returns, and then bid there. Hope this satisfies.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We'll take the next follow-up question from the line of Mr. Mohit Kumar from DAM Capital. Please go ahead, sir, with your question.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity once again. So my first question is, what is the capital expenditure you have made in FY23 till date, and what is the budgeted amount for
FY23? Yeah, sure. Just one second. Yeah, sure. Okay. So till date, on a gross basis, actually, if you would have seen, our capex is nearer to 5,600 crore, and by the end of this financial year, we expect this gross capex basis to increase to around 6,800. Just to reaffirm, all these capex are fully funded.
Understood. What is the capex expenditure you have penciled for FY24 and FY25?
Yeah, so FY24 FY24 will be broadly related towards 10,000 crore. I will put it that way. But this will be a combination of committed and discretionary capex, actually. So as my colleague Munagar Raj was talking about, for many of our projects, we have got necessary flexibility in terms of either prepone or postpone, because there are certain elements which are yet to be firmed up. For FY25, numbers will also broadly be on similar lines.
And so when you say there's a discretionary, it is due to the procurer's inability to provide something. What is the hurdle there?
So what happens, as you would have tracked the Indian RE space, in a lot of these cases, now we are in a very strong position where we have the land, we have visibility on evacuation of power, but our scheduled COD dates under the projects are still later. So it is our choice whether we would want to do some of those projects prior to their CODs or keep it as per their CODs. In some cases, while we have a clarity that the power can flow, but still, as you would have seen in some of our existing projects, the legal CODs are not done because the evacuation infrastructure, which consists multiple elements, may not be ready. So based on that visibility, again, we have time. So this thing is something which provides us significant flexibility to be able to plan our capex. At the same time, as I said, we have, with the full control over the land and a very clear visibility on evacuation, we are in a very strong position to decide when we want to do and what we want to do.
And sir, any color on the funding of this, you know, 100 billion, some color will be helpful. Yeah.
Yeah, part of it is already will get tied up actually through long-term financing from domestic sources. And as far as balance part is concerned, it is in the process of being tied up. And we expect the entire tied up to happen by Q1 of next financial year.
Do you expect the borrowing mix to change towards domestic financing going forward? Is that a fair assumption?
No, see, as we stand today, actually, a larger part of borrowing was towards non-domestic sources, because that also gives certain flexibility in our ability to tie up multiple sources. But if you are asking in terms of near terms, yes, near terms it may be slightly towards the domestic sources, but on a medium term level, we expect this mix to remain same. But in near terms, let's say Q1 and Q2, yes, maybe slightly more from domestic sources.
Last is on the Kamuthi power plant. You said that you received the APTEL order. Is the entire power plant now is billing the Tamil Nadu DISCOM at the rate of 7.01? And has this APTEL order been challenged? That's the reason you have not recognized the revenue as of now?
Yes, Mohit. The whole, this 648 megawatt, now as far as the tariff issue is concerned, has been resolved. And further, the APTEL has given the order in our favor. This Tamil Nadu government, Tanjanko, they have gone, for appeal in the Supreme Court. However, there is no stay by the Supreme Court so far.
Okay, understood, sir. So this will help us to, in case the judgment comes in our favor, it will help us to get 5.9 billion, is that number, for the past period, and 900 million on a recurring basis. Is that understanding correct?
Absolutely.
Understood, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Just to add, actually, this excludes the late payment surcharge also, but for the purpose of this discussion, we have only included the base value. Yeah.
Understood. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Mr. Nikhil from Alliance Bernstein. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity again. Just on the plan for 10,000 crore capex for the next two financial years every year, I wanted to understand, it's implying effectively 2.5 gigawatt capacity addition every year. Am I correct to understand that? And B, would there be a need to tap equity markets to support this, assuming 30% equity finance part of the capex?
Yeah, so I think as we have advised in the past, actually, usually the debt equity mix which we have is around 75-25. But for the capex in near terms, actually, we don't envisage any capital market to be tapped upon, because the capacity and the capex which we are talking about can easily be met by our free cash flow, which 8.1 gigawatt will generate.
Understood. And the directionally is 2.5 gigawatt capacity every year. That's what is being envisaged next couple of years.
Broadly in these levels.
Understood. One more question. So related group companies are doing so many renewable projects, like the hydrogen project in enterprises and renewable growth in the cement business, renewable capacity growth. Any synergy being drawn by Adani Green from those two ventures?
So, there is a significant ESG push across the Adani Group portfolio. And obviously, they would be looking to set up certain capacities in future. We would be helping them in terms of conceptualizing their thought process with respect to implementation of that. And based on market factors, they would implement those capacities. It may give us opportunities in terms of we being able to implement some of those on an arm's length basis in a transparent process. That is an additional upside which we may have. We have not currently factored any of that in our projections.
Good. Understood. And just one related question to that. If I understand the hydrogen plant, the land it is planned on, I just want to clarify, is the same land which Adani Green has in its portfolio for renewable, future renewable growth, or is it a different portion of land in the Kutch area?
So, as far as Adani Green is concerned, it has that land parcel which you are talking about for its own development. At the same time, what we understand, the new vertical, which is ANIL, has also applied for additional land from the government of Gujarat. So, it is their discretion whether they would want some capacities from us or not. Right now, we are not necessarily allocating something from them because they have their own applications which are under consideration of the government of Gujarat.
Understood. Thank you. And one last clarification, sorry. The new businesses like even manufacturing, I know you have clarified it previously, they are not part of Green. So that still holds, right? I mean, Adani Green is focusing only as a renewable developer, not in hydrogen, not in manufacturing.
Yes, you are 100% right. As guided earlier, there is no change in that. There is only 26% stake we currently hold in a 2 gigawatt cell and module manufacturing facility. That is the only manufacturing exposure which Adani Green carries. It does not intend to get into manufacturing of any RE equipment right now.
Got it. And any plans to target corporate customers, which some other renewable players are doing, and that looks like a growing market?
So I think two parts of the answer. One, as I have narrated in the earlier question, I have enough capability within my own ecosystem to augment or expedite the implementation. One, I do not need too many corporate customers based PPAs for my own growth plan. However, yes, you are right. It's a significant opportunity currently available, and as I have mentioned, even within the group also that opportunity lies. So we are also looking within the group as well as outside the group, and at an appropriate stage we will get back to you whatever we tie up.
Thanks for asking my question.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Ms. Sonali from Elala Securities. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So we have seen receivables have improved. So wanted to understand, do you see this sustainable low receivables ahead? And second, we are seeing your carbon credit income growing over the last few quarters. Can you throw some light on your payables over here, and where do you see this renewable on a full build out portfolio?
On the receivable side, there has been significant efforts made by the Government of India to resolve the issue of DISCOM receivables, and with the joint effort of all the players in the industry and the government, a lot of receivables has been resolved from the various state DISCOM. However, you would agree that our exposure to state DISCOMs is limited to a significantly smaller capacity. So as we grow higher, as a percentage, this number comes down. But with the new LPS rules and all of those coming in, the payment security mechanisms, this has become very difficult for DISCOMs not to pay. And that is where it is helping us to resolve the receivables. And we are very confident that this would continue and we will be able to have a very healthy receivable positions, probably better than what we have today. That is number one. What was the second question I was?
Carbon rate.
Okay. So, yes, this is an additional stream of consideration which in normal cases we do not factor in, but this is an additional stream of considerations where we have been able to tap the global carbon rate markets and have been able to augment our returns. However, this is market dependent in terms of the pricing. So there may be variation, but at the same time, yes, as the business model, we will see meaningful carbon credit revenues coming in year on year, obviously, which will further go up as we augment capacities. So what you see is for a capacity which was available with us, say, 1 year, 1.5 years back, and this is expected to ramp up. But again, it's a market which moves based on global considerations. Various geopolitical situations. So the pricing is something which is market dependent.
Just to add on the receivable side, actually, two more points. One is, all the payment securities in the form of letter of credit has been given by all the off-takers, actually. That is first element. Secondly, okay, till date, we never had to draw upon the letter of credit. So this effectively shows that there is a discipline at the end of all the DISCOMs to adhere to their contractual obligations. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Mohit Kumar from DAM Capital. Please go ahead, sir. Go ahead, sir.
So one clarification, sir, how much of carbon credit is available with us as of now for the past period, and for the newer power plants, under which scheme we are eligible to for the carbon credit?
So broadly, broadly. One second. So broadly, we have currently five schemes which are in vogue when it comes to carbon credits globally right now, especially for projects registered out of India, which are RE projects. So you have GS credits, you have the VCS credits, you have third standard, which is DCC. Fourth standard, which is IREC, and fifth standard is Indian REC. So these are the five standards which are currently there. Now, in terms of the credits which we have, we follow a yearly cycle. Okay, so most of our credits for GS and VCS are already registered. So our projects are already registered. So those are now in the yearly cycle. For the projects which we are currently doing, the de facto registration is happening in GCC because the standards required under GS and VER now provide that since India has a certain kind of energy mix, Indian projects are no longer eligible for registration under GS and VER, VCS. So now the reliance is on the GCC. And there are few projects where we are able to tap the IREC market as well as the Indian REC market. So it's a combination of all these. In terms of number, I think you have seen a number last year in terms of credits, revenue until now. We expect that this number would further increase in future. I think we have disclosed that earlier that it is on a fully built out basis, we will be having close to 250 to $260 million of credits available. Everything is registered.
This every year per annum, is that right?
Yeah, but we are talking, this is basically starting 25-26.
Hmm. Understood. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Very helpful.
Thank you. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Yes. So I think from our side, thank you for all the participants who will be joining, and we want to specifically mention that from our side we are on track to achieve our sustainable goal.
Thank you. If you have any further questions, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Elara Securities Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.